Good morning, church. Welcome on this Sunday as we celebrate the beautiful season of Epiphany. A few announcements before we get started. Please don't forget we will still have dollar chocolate bars available after worship. Go see one of our great salesmen, Mr. Nick Menapace, after worship, and he'll be ready to set you up as we're selling dollar chocolate bars for our mission trip to Trickle Bee Cafe. And speaking of the mission trip, we had a great meeting yesterday. We got a lot of commitments. We're looking at sending a mission team of possibly 15 to 20 people to Trickle Bee. Very, very great opportunity. So what we're asking is, because our numbers are so good right now, we're asking for a firm commitment date by February 1st, if you're interested in going. And in that commitment is a $75 deposit to go on that trip. There is an opportunity to go afterwards, but February 1st is the guaranteed, yes, I want to go on this mission trip, and yes, I can guarantee we have a spot for you. So if you're interested, please take advantage of this opportunity. It's an affordable trip. It's a Moravian mission. It's an opportunity to see Wisconsin in summer, so it really should be a lot of fun. Please don't forget, church council packets are available in the back. All your financial information is available now, too, as well. We're going to have church council next week, immediately following worship. There's a potluck meal to be a part of that, and then we'll meet right after our meal. Our snow makeup date will be Sunday, January 26th. It's 60 degrees out, so I'm guessing we're not going to need that at this point, but you never know in January. Cares and prayers will meet Tuesday from 1:30 to 3. If you'd like to join us for that, you're always welcome to come. We are hosting the men's breakfast this Saturday from 9 to 11. Usually 60 to 70 different men throughout the county come, and a great opportunity of fellowship. Many different denominations and churches are represented as well. So if you'd like to be a part of that, please join us. Also, please don't forget our joint board reorganizational meeting will be on Wednesday, January 22nd at 6:30 with elders to follow. That's a little bit different than our traditional of doing it on the Monday after, but we moved it to Wednesday. The Moravian Bowling Bash will be next Sunday as well from 6 to 9 at Boulevard Lanes this year. So if you're interested in doing that, $10 per person. I believe the nuance this year, since we're switching bowling alleys, is that we are not going to be able to bring food and drink in this time. So bring a few bucks to spend there, but it's always a great time for the kids. They always have fun. And so if you want to be a part of that, please join us. Also, I keep reminding this because it's such a great event in our community, but Mitch Albom will be at the PAC on Monday, January 20th. New York Times best-selling author. A really great opportunity to see somebody prominent in our area. All the proceeds for the tickets are going to community hospice, so if you get an opportunity to go to that, I would really encourage you to. The trustees are also looking for judges for our chili cook-off. See them if you are interested. We're looking forward to doing that once again for our second annual chili cook-off on Super Bowl Sunday. We'll see if we can break up the Swallow Dynasty in the back row. And we'll have always a good time and a lot of good fellowship. And also, the Concert That Cares is coming right around the corner. Thursday, February 6th, we're going to have a lot of our own be a part of that. Chloe Martin, Kira, and Charlotte, as well as some kids from the area. We'll be raising money for Bears and Cares. Just a great opportunity to not only support kids, but to support ministry. It really is a win-win for our community. Does anybody else have any other announcements that they would like to share? Yeah, Jackie. Any helping hands would be appreciated. Danielle?
On February 6th, for the concert of care, you're welcome to bring stuffed animals or money. If you do bring money, we will be purchasing stuffed animals. They will benefit the hospital as they did last year. Both the ER and the surgery center will be coming for children that are
purposely. Linda? Okay.
So if they want to bring desserts for next week's coverage.
Absolutely, that's a good idea. Anybody else have any other announcements? All right, let us stand and greet one another.
Good morning, Letitia.
Remain standing as we join together in our watchword of the week this week. We're chatty today. Our watchword this week comes from the 42nd chapter of Isaiah, verse 3. Let us say it together. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. Amen. You may be seated.
Please stand and join with me in the call of worship. Great is our Lord. He is abundant in grace and mercy.
God determines the number of his stars. He gives all of them their names.
Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God.
God is gracious. Let us give him.
You may remain standing as we join together to sing songs of thankfulness and praise, 313 in your Moravian Book of Worship.
Mm-hmm.
turn our hearts and our minds to a time of offering, and we think especially in the season of Epiphany, we talk about the manifestation of God in our lives. Well, in our offering, we think about manifesting our compassion, our service, and especially our giving to God. So let us now give of our tithes, our offerings, and our gifts. One quick announcement before I ask you to rise is we changed the lyrics in our offertory response, and I wanted to give you a heads up. I waited to tell you now to remind you because the Communion Sunday, so to remind you that your pastor is not perfect and without blame on a Communion Sunday as well, I waited to hold the announcement until now. So may you now please rise as we join together to sing our offertory response.
Yeah.
pray together. Dear Savior, let us celebrate the manifestation of your presence in our world. Help us manifest your sense of compassion, empathy, and joy in the world around us. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer and a time of reflection as we converse with God. We remember Linda Bonnell at this time as she continues to undergo further tests and treatments for her cancer. We remember Karen, a friend of Jacqueline Ness, who's been waiting for a heart transplant for a while. With prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope, we offer to the family of Jim Eichel, Jean Ann Baker's brother. He entered the more immediate presence of our Savior on Friday morning. Calling hours for Jim will be on Tuesday from 4 to 7 at Guide Funeral Home. A memorial service will be held at Guide at 2 p.m. on Wednesday, and a time of fellowship will happen at the church afterwards. Jim was a man with a great heart, and I was touched by all of his service. One of the really cool things about his memorial service is that on Tuesday during his calling hours, there will be a time of remembrance for his time as a state trooper. And then Wednesday during his memorial service, there'll be a time of remembrance for his service as a soldier. So a man who served not only his community, but his country as well. So we give thanks for that. We continue to pray for Willie Gardner, who fell and was taken to the hospital this past week. He broke a rib. He is Linda Karcher's father. For Joyce Santo, prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to her family after her passing last Saturday. Her service of remembrance was held yesterday. Joyce was a longtime organist at Sharon Moravian Church. A lot of good ministry there and a lot of music ministry that she touched. We continue to pray for the 176 people who were killed on a Ukrainian passenger jet Wednesday flying from Tehran. We pray for Sinette Fleming, Amy Barron, friends of Amy, James, Christian, Lucas Bout, who all have the flu. We continue to pray for everybody battling the cold and flu season at this time. For the family of James Hunter, he passed away, the father of Tiffany Gerber. Tiffany is well known in the area for tourism. Jay, for the birth of Elizabeth Swift and her parents, Tim and Katie Swift, a friend of Alicia Miller's. For Jim Menapace, who was moved to an assistant living wing for outpatient surgery. For Andriana Hill, for a house fire this past week. For Ron Martin's niece, we continue to pray for her family and as they continue to rebuild their lives. For Todd Steele, who donated 70% of his liver to his friend, a friend of Stacy Kasser. What a great way to honor a friend, and we continue to think in our world and our country how many people are in need of organs at this time. So anybody who is willing to step up and provide that wonderful calling is greatly appreciated. And for Stephanie, who's been diagnosed with breast cancer, she has a double mastectomy coming. She's a friend of the Swabos. We'll definitely continue to pray for Stephanie and for her treatment. For so many cancer patients in our world who have been afflicted by this terrible disease. Let's take a moment in silence and invite God in this time of prayer. Gracious God, we come before you today with heavy hearts because you heard our prayers today that we have so many concerns to share with you today. Help each one of them, these situations and circumstances be surrounded by your compassion, your love, and your care. Because we remember the season of Epiphany is first and foremost the remembrance of the manifestation of your presence in our lives and our world. So help each one of us to pay attention to that. Because we realize you came to this world because it was a struggling world and a hurting world and a grieving world, and that your presence provided light in the midst of darkness. So may you be with all of those who are hurting, who are grieving, who are struggling, who feel so far away from you, God. Help them to realize that you will come to them. Your spirit, your love, and your grace will always be there. Gracious God, we think especially of so many people in our world who need you, who need this feeling of compassion in their lives. Help each one of us open our hearts to them and to be the missionaries that you call us to be. Not in miraculous moments, but in small acts of compassion where we can remind people of Christ in their lives. And as we prepare our hearts for the communion table, help us to just come with grace, to not think of what we have done or what we haven't done. We have not loved our neighbors with our whole hearts. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. But still, it is your grace and your mercy that defines us and not your judgment. So help each one of us live, share, and give as much grace, mercy, and love as we can. In your gracious name we pray. Amen.
The first scripture verse today comes from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. It can be found on page 13 in your pew Bible. He is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout, nor cry out, nor raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he established justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out will spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people, a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release them from the dungeon, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them with you.
Thank you, Letitia. Let us turn our attention to the gospel of our Lord, which comes from Matthew, the third chapter, verses 13 to 17, where we hear the baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. May the reading of God's holy word reach your hearts, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. At this time, I invite the children to come forward for the children's chapel. So good morning.
Good morning.
So who's excited to go back to school this past week? Yeah? Excited to go home? Okay, a little energy. More hands up than I thought we would have. So what we're going to talk about today is symbols. Can anybody tell me what a symbol is? Rylan?
Something
that represents something. That's good. Aubrey?
That's good.
Rylan got that, hit that right on the head. It's something that represents something, a sign of something more important that's what's in it. So can any of you think of some important symbols that you see in your life or in your day-to-day? Aubrey? The Statue of Liberty, that's an important symbol. Rylan? The cross. Like ours is right underneath there. What does the cross symbolize? Nick? Jesus. That Jesus laid his life down for us. Paige? Doves. Those are important symbols. What do doves represent? God, peace, joy. Nick?
The flag.
What's that?
The flag.
The flag. What does the flag symbolize? That. What else does it symbolize? That we're all part of what? The United States. So when you look at that symbol and you see that symbol, is it worth a lot of money when you look at the flag?
Yeah.
No, it's a piece of cloth, right? Okay. It's actually not worth that. When you look at a flag at itself and the way it's painted, it's just a cloth that's painted in red, white, and blue with some stripes. So do you think if you just found a random piece of picture that had that conglomeration, would it be worth anything?
No,
it wouldn't be worth anything. What makes the flag worth something to us as Americans, Nick?
Freedom,
because it stands for something greater than the shapes, the colors, and everything in front of it. That's why soldiers, when they're called to their duty, is they protect the flag because they know it's more than just the cloth in front of them. So what we're going to talk about are important symbols within our church. So I'm going to put you on a little bit of a scavenger hunt. I want you to find me some important symbols in this church. What are we pointing at, Tyler? The lamb, the seal? That's the Moravian seal. Can anybody tell me what that stands for? Why is it a lamb? Brandon? Because God, Nick? Shepherd, that's close. Who's our sacrificial lamb? Paige? Jesus. So that's why we have the lamb, because our lamb has conquered. Our lamb is Jesus. So that's why that's an important symbol for us. So find me a different symbol. All right, what's that, Paige? The cross. Okay, why is that an important symbol? Yep, absolutely. So do any of you have crosses or any of your family members wear crosses? Okay. Yep, Peyton's got one on right there. Reese does, yep. So what's important about the cross is some people wear it, some people hold it in their hearts, but what makes that symbol important is our faith in Christ. Otherwise, it's just a piece of wood to us. It's our faith that helps sustain that. Can somebody else find me another important symbol? The cross. What else, Nick? The Bible. This is an interesting one I want to show you. Actually, I want to show you this big Bible, which Letitia read out of for us today. And this Bible actually stays on our pulpit, this big, big pulpit Bible. Does anybody know why we keep it open? Some of our adults might not know that. Nick? Because it's where God comes out. That's a good example. Because God's Word is alive and active. So that's why when you come into a Moravian church, you're always going to see a Bible open, because it symbolizes for us that God never stopped talking to us. God is always working with us, and we always need to read Scripture to get a closer relationship with God. What else? And what else? What's another important symbol that I have sitting behind me? Other than the cross. Something we're going to do later in worship. Nick?
Communion.
And so what does the bread symbolize in communion? Paige?
Jesus
is what? Okay. Rylan, how about? The bread symbolizes Jesus' body. That's what that symbolizes. Does anybody know what the juice symbolizes? Tyler? Jesus' blood, and what's important about that? What did Jesus give us? He sacrificed himself because he's a sacrificial lamb. You see how all these symbols are starting to connect to one another? And we're going to talk about one last one. We're going to get up for this one. So I want you to stand up and I want you to follow me because we had to move this one since it's a communion Sunday. But since we're talking about Jesus' baptism, we're going to talk about this symbol. Can anybody tell me what this is? What's that, Peyton? Okay, cross. What do we use this, Paige? It's a baptismal font. And what's important about this symbol? Why do we baptize people? Nick? Technically part of the church because we welcome them as children of God in the church. So everybody gets baptized at one point or another. Some people are baptized as adults. Some people are baptized as kids. Now we can start walking back so everybody doesn't have to turn their head. But as we're walking, I want you to think about, so why do we use water in baptism? What's the significance of that? Nick, what's the significance of the water? Jesus was baptized in the water, and water refreshes us. It makes us anew. It cleanses us from all of our sins. So that's why we use water. And do we use fancy holy water, or do we use what kind of, or just regular tap water? Regular tap water. Why do you think we do that? Well, yeah, not tap water. He was actually baptized in the Jordan River itself, but we use that because of the simplicity of it, because it reminds us that even in the common and the ordinary things, God is working through them, and that's why we use water. So I want you to think about these things and keep paying attention in your world, because we talked about a lot of different symbols, and maybe think about on your sheets as you're doing your worship information, maybe write down some of the other symbols that you see as you're sitting down, because all those symbols represent something. And what makes them important than just the substance of them themselves is our faith in them, our faith in Jesus, that those symbols show us and give us an appreciation of that. So we're going to have a moment of prayer. We're going to stand up, and then we'll get you all some snacks. Will you all pray with us? Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask that you bless these children and just continue to nourish them and love for them and care for them. And help them to pay attention to all the symbols and connections in their life. Because you, Jesus, sacrificed so much for us. And we can see you in so many different things and so many different places. So help each one of us pay attention. Because we know that you, Jesus, are there. We just have to look for you. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. I grab the snack. Oh yeah, here, I'll grab this. And grab one. Head back to your seats. Oh yeah, okay. He's an honest man right before communion. Let's take a moment in silence and invite God into this message. Gracious God, I ask that we open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the words that you have to say to us to inspire us to be rebaptized in your spirit, in your name, in your life every single day. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. So the baptism of Jesus is such an important moment in the life of our Lord and Savior. It is the moment that he decides that he is finally ready to proclaim himself as the Messiah of the world. We know he is not a young man in his culture at his time. We often like to think of that. But in Jewish culture, your bar mitzvah, declaring you a man in front of your community, happens at the age of 13. So Jesus, who's about 30 at this time, means he's been classified an adult in his world longer than he's been classified a child. And I have a feeling that at around this age that his mother Mary was getting a little restless waiting for her 30-year-old son to get off her couch, to get out into the world and do what he was called to do. Because Jesus, at this point, was finally ready to accept his calling. He was finally ready to be more than just the kid from Nazareth that so many people outside of his inner circle saw him. And we all have moments in our lives where we realize we aren't children anymore. Mom and daddy won't be there to come to our rescue. I've always loved this quote from the movie Moneyball, which says, "We're all told at some point that we can no longer play the children's game. We just don't know when that's going to be. Some of us are told that at 18, some of us are told that at 40, but we're all told at one point or another." And that got me thinking, because it's so unique and individual to us as persons. When was your moment when you finally felt like you had to step into your adult shoes and really be the person that God called you to be? For some of us, it was after we graduated high school and had to enter the workforce. For some of us, it was after we graduated college, got married, and got up out of the house. And perhaps for some of you, it was way sooner. One of your parents may have passed away when you were a teenager, and you had to step up quickly and take on responsibility in your household at a very young age. Or maybe like Mary, the mother of Jesus, you had to deal with a teenage pregnancy, and you had to grow up really fast. But no matter where we are in this world, we all reach a point where we realize the practice test is over, and life has begun. And for Jesus, his baptism was a changing of the guard, because he knew from that point forward, any chance he had at a normal life was over. His people needed him. In the Moravian Church, when we baptize someone, we specifically say, "Into the death of Jesus, I baptize you." And all Christians teach that baptism is a dying of our old ways and rising to a new life marked as children of God. For Jesus, we have to ask ourselves, though, what did he have to sacrifice to accept his baptism, his calling as our Savior? And I'm sure we don't often think about it, but Jesus probably had to give up some of his personal hopes and his dreams to take on the hopes and dreams of the Jewish people, of our people. Because he could no longer live his life around personal want, but his calling was to community need. Many of you remember that sensation when you become a parent for the first time, and all those eyes in your life start to become a lot less important, don't they? Because it's all about what that child needs in that moment in time. So your sleep, when you eat, when you go out, when you hang out with your friends, all those take a back seat to the needs of your child. And for Jesus, his children was the world, the entire world. And I often think we fail to consider that Jesus could have had a dream to settle down like each and every one of us, to raise a family, to live a peaceful life. However, like many great leaders, Jesus refused to place his burdens on the shoulders of others. After all, he came to us to ease our burdens, to ease the burdens of humanity. And Jesus is the definition of a servant leader. And when I think about this scene that we have before us in Matthew, my biggest question about that event is, how many people do you picture at this baptism of Jesus? Because it's one that I often wonder. Because was it an intimate affair with just Jesus, John, and God present? Or was it a public declaration of ministry? And the scriptures are very silent about who witnessed this event. Luke, in his version of the baptism of Jesus, just mentions that Jesus was baptized among other people, so that it was just a couple people there, possibly. I tend to lean towards this being a public event, but God's declaration being a private conversation between the three of them. Because the Almighty is never one to seek the spotlight very often. And it's important for us to realize that Jesus is not the first baptism by John. His name is John the Baptist, after all. He got that name for a reason. He baptized quite a few people. Or other prophets of that ancient time also baptized as well. However, this is the first time a common practice happens to such an uncommon person. This is the first time the one who is humbly being baptized should be the one that is the baptizer. That is why John in this passage objects so profusely to having to be the one to baptize Jesus, because he knows he's called to be the student of Christ and not the teacher. And what makes this passage so realistic for all of us is what happens next. This is why it's so important to pay attention to the story after the story in Scripture, because Matthew 4:1 said, this is the verse immediately after the baptism of Jesus, it says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Accepting his calling of a child of God did not insulate Jesus from the feeling of pain in his life." So I want you to think about that. Going from the spiritual high of this baptism where God descends and you feel the Spirit of God, to immediately going to 40 days of being tempted in the wilderness. Talk about the highs and the lows that Jesus experienced. And we can all relate to that. Because just because we accept Jesus Christ in our heart, it does not mean that any of us will face an easy life. Our car can break down the month that we have all our big bills due. We can be the one to face the unexpected layoff. The doctor can come back with a negative prognosis. Someone close to us can pass away, even though we pray our hardest every single day. We all face many different hardships during this lifetime. And I find that often when we make a good spiritual decision in our lives, it is almost always accompanied by some form of hardship. Because the devil wants to trip us up. Yet we should see the hardship as an opportunity to prove how much we believe in the path that God has laid out for us, a chance to show that we're sticking to our resolution to be closer to God, to be closer to Christ. And that is why people who live selfish lives often live pampered lives. They're the ones with the biggest houses, the fanciest cars, and they have all the amenities that life has to offer. And they make decisions that hurt others on a daily basis and rarely face full consequences. Because they are building for themselves, spiritually, the most beautiful prisons the world has ever seen. But for these people, happiness still eludes them, no matter how much stuff or objects or pride or ego they have. Because they fail to see in their lives the difference between fulfillment and pleasure. Because pleasure is circumstantial and temporary. It relies on what you keep getting on a daily basis. But fulfillment in God is eternal and unconditional. And it does not depend on your circumstances. That's why you can see waitresses in truck stops who make $7 an hour far happier with their lives than some of the millionaire businessmen that come in that they serve. Because for that waitress, her fulfillment is not conditional on how much money she makes or what she's doing in that day. It's reliant on God. So when we come to the communion table today, let each one of us let go of the bitterness and the anger that we harbor towards God and towards others. Because each one of us have faced difficult circumstances in our lives at one point or another. And I want you to think about that, because often we think about the circumstances we face and we think about them with shame. But would you rather the eulogist at your funeral say you never faced any hardships in your life, or that you faced adversity in your life and you walked away a stronger and more faithful person? Which one of those people would you rather be? Because today, each and every one of us are standing with our Lord and Savior today. We are bruised but not broken, as our Isaiah passage shared with us. Evil will not defeat us. Evil cannot defeat us. Because the one benefit of the constant presence of sin in our lives is that it reminds us over and over again that God will pick us up when we have fallen down. We get that example on a daily life. Our mistakes is an opportunity to see how compassionate, how loving, how far God will go for each one of us. Because the more each and every one of us turn to God, turn to Christ, the more we learn just how strong God's grip can be, how he can truly lift us out of any circumstance, out of any trouble. And now our hearts turn to Holy Communion today, where Christ looks at us authentically, exactly as we are. There's no mask, there's no social media profile. God looks at us exactly as we are, at all our imperfections, our sins, our mistakes, our misunderstandings. God sees all of that. And you know what God does? He looks at all of you authentically with all knowledge of all those imperfections, all those sins, all those mistakes. And he's going to whisper to each and every one of you, "These are my children, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And I want you to listen for God's voice in communion, because he loves each and every one of you, despite all of our shortcomings. Because God cares for us. God was willing to sacrifice for us. And what a gift we are given today. So let now each and every one of us enjoy the gift that God is about to give us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so grateful that you are willing to take on the difficult calling of being our Messiah, our Savior. We realize there are often times that we stumble, that we're selfish, that we make decisions on the basis of how it will please us. But help us to live a life not based on pleasure, but on fulfillment, on fulfilling our calling to God, on fulfilling our calling to our neighbor. Help us to see that happiness, joy, and love is not circumstantial, but is given to us each and every day. So help us to be grateful for the gifts that we have been given and truly open our hearts as we commune with you today in your personal invitation to this table. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. You may remain seated as we join together in song. As we prepare our hearts and minds for the service of Holy Communion, I would like to remind you that the Moravian Church offers an open communion table. All who welcome Christ in their hearts are welcome at our table. And for those of you that are parents to children, if you would like your child to commune with us, just have them stand with us as we stand. If you would like them to be offered a blessing, just have them remain seated when I come to your row. At this time, let us prepare our hearts. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen.
Let's extend the right hand of fellowship. God, we come before you in grace and gratitude because we are indebted to know that each one of us receives a personal invitation to your table. Help us to continue to make space for our neighbor next to us as you invite each and every one of us to this table. Gracious God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. But it is your grace and your mercy that blots out all our sins and reminds us of the beauty and the love that we are called to. So help us listen intently to the words that you taught us to pray, and let us pray them now together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You may be seated.
Thank you.
Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." By your divine presence, by the holy sacraments, by all the merits of your life, suffering, death, and resurrection.
Bless and comfort us, gracious Lord and God. Amen.
In the same way, after supper, our Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." You may be seated.
Thank you.
Please rise. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Drink from this, all of you. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. This cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. Let's extend the right hand of fellowship. Shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace.